I like the ice cream. Morning. How you all doing? Well, as Coral started the new series last week, we're talking about the subject, A Christian Is. And last week she said, a Christian is a? Well done. This week, we're going to speak about a Christian is a farmer. Okay? And before we start, I've got a free gift for every single one of you here. Okay? Don't say you don't get anything when you come to church. Mark, would you like to give one each of these to everyone here? You can do. I wouldn't suggest it though. How many got there? I've got another pack here. And I realised this morning, having done. You can take it home, Richard, and cover it in chocolate if you so wish. As I was preparing for this morning, or in the last couple of weeks, this morning it suddenly dawned on me, it's actually a very appropriate talk I'm doing today, because I'm actually from farming stock. And I am proof positive that it doesn't run in its genes, okay? My dad's family lived and worked and farmed on the Duke of Wellington estate. They were actually in Tide Cottage in the Duke of Wellington estate. So my dad grew up working the farm. And as you know, farmers work extremely long hours. So he would be out from breakfast before it got light, out all day until it was more or less dark, he came home. As you know, farming doesn't pay that well, so he ended up in Maidenhead in an industrial job, engineering firm. But originally, his family were farmers. So I thought that's quite appropriate, as it struck me. So this morning, hopefully you've all got your free gift, courtesy of Wilco. So as you put it in your hand, I want to ask you two questions. What does a farmer do with a seed when he's given a seed? Plants it. Sounds sensible. What would happen if you gave a farmer a seed, he kept it in his hand, and he kept it in his hand? What would happen?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay, let's transfer the word farmer to the word Christian. What does a Christian do when they're given seed? The Bible is, God tells us, the word of God is the seed. So if the Christian is given seed, what do? He sows it. She sows it. What would happen if a Christian was given seed and did absolutely nothing with it? Nothing. Nothing. See, the problem is, we've got a wonderful treasure, but it's only good if you share it. It's only good if you sow it. It's no good a farmer having a barn full of seed if he doesn't do anything with it. That's what we're going to talk about today. The Christian is a farmer. And I was thinking about the characteristics of a farmer that could help us when we were thinking about this. The farmer shows faith. That seed you have in your hand is a sunflower. You might say, well, no, it's only a seed. But actually, every one of those seeds has the potential to be a fully grown sunflower. Fact. So the farmer has faith. The farmer has patience. The farmer has perseverance. The farmer is caring, and the farmer is expectant. Now, before we get any further, I want to say three things you would never hear a farmer say. Okay? Farmer says this, wouldn't say this. I planted the seed yesterday. Why hasn't anything happened? Secondly, he would never say, I know the harvest is ready, but I fancy a few weeks off. He would never say, well, I plant the seed, but nothing's going to happen. Now tell me this, don't want a show of hands, how many of us Christians have actually thought that over the years? Guilty, aren't we? I'm going to do it, but I don't think much is going to happen. We've got a lot to learn from the farmer when it comes to that. Things a farmer would never say should never be something that we actually are caught up with. We're going to read from James chapter 5. It's only one verse. And it's verse 7. It says this. Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. So let's consider faith for first. What are the characteristics of a farmer? First thing we need to appreciate, as I've tried to show you, is there is life in the seed. That's what a seed is. There's life in it. And with God's word, there is life in God's word. Romans 1:16 says this, it is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. There's life, there's power in the seed. Isaiah 55:11 says this, it will achieve everything God has set it out to do. Do I believe that? That's a bit wet, wasn't it? Do I actually believe that? That there is life in the seed? Because in reality, if the farmer didn't believe that, he might as well give up and become an insurance broker. Because that is his livelihood. He believes when he plants that seed, he will have a harvest. He has faith. And as Christians, we need to believe what God says about his word is actually true. There is life in it, there is power of God in it, and it will produce a harvest, what God wants it to do. If we didn't believe that, we'd just be another club meeting every Sunday to pat each other on the back. We need to believe and trust that God's word, the seed, will do its work. Patience. I'm actually a very patient man. I just don't like waiting. Patience is one of those things I really struggle with. I wonder whether you were a sprinter or a marathon runner. My brother, he runs 5Ks, 10Ks, half marathons, marathons. Although he's going to be 50 next month, so not sure how well he'll be doing those in the future. But every morning he's out running, no matter what the weather. Me, I'm more a 20-meter sprint person. I like to see the finishing line before I actually start. It's a bit of an encouragement. But what about you? How patient are you? I'll give you an example. I wonder if you've actually been praying for someone, maybe for a few days, weeks, months, years maybe, but you haven't actually seen anything happen. And maybe you're starting to think, well, is it worth praying about this? Is it worth continuing to do this? My mum and dad weren't Christians, but they were of the age where they sent... their kids to Sunday school, because that's what you do. So as soon as we were old enough, my sister was older than me, she was born first, obviously. As soon as she was five and old enough to go, she went. And then as kids happened, they went as well. So all four of us, over the years, went. So that would have been about when Mum was 41. So she would have had contact with those special events, you know, those harvest teas, Christmas, Easter, Mother's Day. Father's Day wasn't so popular, but we still did it in our church. So over the years, she would have had lots and lots of contact. And lots of people prayed. Come on, Dad. So from the age of 41 to the age of 79, when she was saved, 58 years. People prayed. How patient are we as Christians? Because God sometimes does work immediately. But sometimes he calls us for patience. 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says this. The Lord isn't really slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. God is patient. And he calls us as farmers, as Christians, to be patient too. To be faithful, but to be patient. To be the marathon runners, not the sprinters. Not to assume that things will happen tomorrow, but to keep praying and sowing. Because God has promised his word will not return unto him empty. But we need to be patient. We need perseverance. Now, farmers need a lot of this. As many of you know, I actually cycle most days to and from work. And I cycle across the cycle route across fields. So Friday, I was on my way home, and obviously I was a bit puffed, so I thought I'd take some pictures, because it's a good excuse, because people think you've just stopped to take photos instead of to recover. And this photo that I sent through, Matt, if you could flick that up, that's a photo I took. That's a lovely stream, isn't it? Unfortunately, it's not a stream. It's a farmer's field. Imagine, as a farmer, that was the situation you presented with. And there have been worse situations that we've seen photos over the last weeks. Not just families affected with their houses, but farmers' livelihoods affected by the floods. A farmer is called to perseverance. And even through the hard times, the farmer is called to continue to work. And even through the difficult times, A Christian is called to persevere. Now, I don't know if you've actually been rejected by people as a Christian. Some people don't like Christians. One of my bosses once said in the office, the people he hates worst, most, are born-again believers, born-again Christians. It's always good to know where you stand, I think. But yeah, I mean, he has had a hard life, and he has a lot of hurt inside him. But that was one of his statements. The people I hate most are born-again Christians. Well, sometimes strangers, if they reject him, that's okay to deal with, isn't it? Because they're strangers. And it happened to Jesus. Mark 5, verses 14 to 17 says this. And this is just after when Jesus cast demons out of the man called Legion, because there were so many demons in him. And the man was found sitting, calm, clothed in his right mind. Complete transformation. And the people from the villages around came, and they said this. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there, fully clothed, perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who'd seen what had happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. And the crowd began pleading with Jesus, go away and leave us alone. Imagine that. He was rejected for a good work. And sometimes it's not nice being rejected by strangers, but you can cope with it sometimes. But how about when family rejects you? That is really hard, isn't it? Did Jesus know anything about that? Absolutely he did. Luke 7, verse 5 says this, 1 to 5 says this. After this, Jesus travelled around Galilee. He wanted to stay out of Judea where the Jewish leaders were plotting his death. But soon it was time for the Jewish festival of shelters. And Jesus' brother said to him, leave here and go to Judea where your followers can see the miracles. You can't become famous if you hide yourself like this. Show yourself to the world. For even his brothers didn't believe in him. And as Christians, it may well be sometimes we are rejected by family. We might be rejected by strangers. But it's nothing that Jesus has not gone through himself. He knows. Let's go back to that man who was possessed with those demons. When the crowds told Jesus to go, Jesus got in a boat with his disciples, and this man wanted to come with Jesus. And he wanted to be his disciple and follow him wherever it went. And Jesus said to him, no, I want you to go back to your home and tell everyone what Jesus has done for you. These were the people that had rejected Jesus, told him to go away, and Jesus was telling this man, you go back to these people and you tell them what God has done for you. That wouldn't have been easy. But that man was given a message to share with those people. Next time Jesus came to that area, completely different situation, you read about it. But that man was told to keep going into a place where people rejected Jesus. We live in a world which by and large has rejected Jesus. And God has called us, like farmers, to persevere. Farmers also caring. I think one of the issues with the church is there can be two extremes. On this extreme, there is those who are very, very spiritual. They don't want to be concerned with anything physical. On the other extreme is the people who are concerned so much with the physical, they completely forget about the spiritual. So we have the moral gospel. Everything like that. But God calls us not to extremes, but to walk that path perfectly. Let's go to the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus has taken his disciples away to a quiet place just to rest. But it wasn't quiet for long because the crowds found out where they were. And they followed him. And they were there for days. And they'd listened to Jesus teach. And it was getting late. So the disciples came to Jesus and said, right, okay, send these people away so they can go to these villages and find something to eat. And Jesus said, you feed them. Jesus was not concerned solely about the salvation for individuals, even though that's why he came. He was concerned for the person as a whole. He healed people, but he also taught them. And he calls us as Christians to care for people as a whole, not just see them as projects. That once they're saved, we move on to the next project. He calls us to deal with people as a whole. Here's something that I found true. People cannot hear God's word if their stomachs are rumbling so loud. If there are so many things they have to focus on, their health, their poverty, their job, their lives, so many things, that the quiet voice of God cannot get through because there's so much disruption. We need to deal with people as a whole and see them as a whole so that God's work can work. And the farmer is also one who has expectancy. Nothing worse than a farmer who sows his seed expecting nothing to happen, is there? God's word tells us to sow with expectancy, to wait with expectancy, to tend with expectancy, because God has promised the harvest will come. Second Corinthians 9:6 says this, those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly. But those who sow generously will reap generously. The harvest will come. But how we sow affects the result. We need to sow generously. And it may well be we never see the result of the sowing. But that shouldn't stop us sowing. In 1 Corinthians 3, it says this, one may sow and another water, but God gives the increase. We might have been sowing for years, but we might not see the result of that sowing. People might have been praying for years, but they might not see the result of the prayer. But working together, God will bring the increase. It's not up to me to have a notebook of people I've seen saved. And I've got to page 3002. Well, I've only got to page 1. We're not called to keep score. We're called to sow. And to share. and let God do his work. Because as sure as anything, the truth is this: I cannot save anyone. And if I fall into that trap of it's me, then I'm going to get wrong and nothing's going to happen. We're told from God's word that God is the Lord of the harvest. Jesus is the Saviour of the world. The Holy Spirit is the convictor of people. I am a worker, a farmer. Let's read Matthew 9, 37 to 38, which says this. Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray the Lord who is in charge of the harvest, ask him to send out more workers into the field." Another translation puts it from, "Pray the Lord of the harvest to thrust out workers into the field." Now, for me and you, we're the workers, we're the farmers. He's given us seed, his word. He's given us fields, our front lines. And he's called us to work. So, let's do it.